like to go back to 1 Corinthians 14 that Caleb read from at the beginning of this meeting. I found this chapter a real help in my understanding of what is an assembly meeting. We've often gone over chapter 12, 13, and 14, and because in chapter 12 we have the body of Christ mentioned, and chapter 13 is the love chapter, the motivation for speaking or acting in the body of Christ. And then chapter 14, we have the body in its functions. And much could be said. I don't want to take too much time here, but notice verse 1 of chapter 14, follow after charity, love, and desire spiritual. Notice that gifts is in italics. The thought is really spiritual manifestations, the manifestations of the Spirit. Spirit of God dwells in the assembly collectively, and He manifests His presence. How is that manifested? Verse 2 speaks about speaking of in a tongue. Remember, several years ago we had quite a company from Korea here. And I remember right, they didn't understand very well in English, so a sister in a back room there translated for them. That's proper. And I think there was that same year a brother who spoke in the open meeting in Spanish, and it was translated to English, and then it was translated to Korean. That is proper. That is correct. But notice verse 3 of chapter 14, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Three things. Edification is building up, exhortation is stirring up, and comfort is binding up. Something that's really important. Now, go down later in the chapter because we don't have a whole lot of time. Verse 23 is what is an assembly meeting. Notice, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place. People say that the one place isn't mentioned in the New Testament. Well, it is here. And that's God's purpose, that all believers as members of the body of Christ should function together. Maybe it's not possible for all believers to get together in one room. That could be the case. But it is proper that we should function together as we are members of one body. Wonderful truth. And it says, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad or crazy? But if all prophesy, there come in one that believeth not, or is one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Interesting. The point is that the Spirit of God is in the midst, and He's here, as we have had in these meetings, to guide us into all truth. Individually, also collectively. Oh, how important these truths are to enjoy, brethren. But then go on, verse 26 says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Here is another describing a meeting of the assembly. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. So there were those who had different things on their heart when they come together. What was to regulate this? So there wouldn't be confusion. Let all things be done unto edifying. So before I get up to speak, it should be with a sense in my soul that this is something that would be for edification or exhortation or comfort that would be a help to God's people. And then he says in verse 27, if any man speak in an tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. For if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Point is, when we are together, I'm going to speak Spanish. There are brethren that are going to understand what I'm saying, but the majority may not get any edification or exhortation or comfort. And so that's why the brethren here have provided translation for our Spanish-speaking brethren. It's important to understand what is said. And then we come to that verse that Caleb read, and I think it is interesting. It says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. Not judge the person, but judge what is said. You have your Bible open before you. Look at it. Test what the brother is saying, if it squares with Scripture. I may say something that might be helpful. Maybe I might say something that isn't helpful. And how are you going to tell the difference? Check it out. And I think that's the sense of judging. Judge what is said by the light of Scripture. And so, brethren, it says two or three, and I think that is important in the format that we are having this meeting today. That it not be let go to four or five or six. Sometimes I've seen it go that way. In one meeting, we are not capable of taking in too much. It gets to be confusing. And so the Spirit of God limits it here. But I want to share with you something that our brother Clem Buchanan suggested to me, and I thought it was very helpful. He said, I think this verse applies, or this portion of Scripture applies to a reading meeting, what we call a reading meeting, like it does to what we call an open meeting. Because in a reading meeting, we take up a certain portion of Scripture, and there might be two or three who comment and explain and expound Scripture. There may be some that give exhortation based on what has been explained. That is very helpful. And then we move on. And so we have in verse 31, it says, ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. I must say, brethren, that truth of giving the Spirit of God liberty in assembly meetings has become much more precious to me since I've spent time in Latin America. I've mentioned to some people sometimes, if you go to be with your brethren in Bolivia and Peru, you will probably never be asked to have a meeting. They will expect that if you've come to visit them, you might have something to share with them. But they won't ask you to have a meeting. They announce a meeting, and we come together. And generally at the beginning of a meeting down in those countries, a brother gives out a hymn, another brother. They usually sing quite a few hymns at the beginning of a meeting. sometimes more, sometimes less. And then a brother prays, and then it's open. And I must say, when I go to a meeting down there, I go with exercise. But not only myself, I trust there's exercise in others too, because oftentimes I travel with other brothers, and I trust that they, if they have something from the Lord, will give it too. And I must say that the Spirit of God opens things up beautifully at times, brethren. The important thing is to realize that the Spirit of God is present. It is a reality, brethren. He's present, and He wants to open up the Scriptures to us. And the Scriptures are what are going to be solid. Dear young brother and sister, I appreciated those that have exhorted you to get into the Scriptures, to be grounded in the Scriptures, to be serious about understanding the Scriptures. I'd like to read a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Just want to point out here that Scripture speaks about those things that can be shaken and those things that cannot be shaken. My desire for you, dear young brother and sister in the Lord Jesus, as for those of us who may be older, is that we might lay hold on those things that cannot be shaken. One thing is the precious Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Lord Jesus said, but my Word will not pass away. If you have your faith grounded in this book, you will not be shaken. Brother spoke about covenant theology and how it is making inroads. I didn't realize it until recent years, how strong of a current it is. God is allowing sometimes us to be shaken that we might realize what cannot be shaken. Teaching of the precious Word of God. Foundational it is. And it's something that will be solid. And there's something that I could really encourage in our home assemblies, is to give expositional teaching on the New Testament books of the Bible. Not to despise the Old Testament, we've had it in the address this afternoon, that all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. No doubt about it. But let me point out a verse that has been a help to me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I want to point out that expression in verse 20, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And when it speaks that way, it's the New Testament prophets. You know that apostles are those who wrote the majority of the New Testament, but there are others. Mark was not an apostle. Luke was not an apostle. James was not an apostle. Jude was not an apostle. But they were prophets because they gave the word of God to us, upon which we are built. And you know, when you build something, it's important that you make sure that what you build is on a foundation. That way it will be solid. If you don't build on foundation work, it's not going to last. It's going to be shaken. And how important it is. You know, in the Old Testament, when the temple was destroyed, I think it's been referred to, even the foundation was broken up. So that when they came back in the time of Ezra, they relayed the foundation. Interesting. And when they relayed the foundation, there was joy. And at the same time, there was weeping. The old men wept because they had known the temple before it was destroyed. And the young men rejoiced. And I still remember in my youth a brother standing up at a conference in Toronto one time. And in one meeting, he gave an outline of the book of 1 Timothy. I felt positively edified in that meeting. I got a basis for understanding that book. It's so important. Dear young brother and sister, read the scripture diligently. Read some of the good, solid ministry that has been written on it. It will help you to understand it. You know, we have the Apostle Paul, who is one of the main authors of the New Testament. And he addresses the subject mainly of the Church of God. Then we have the Apostle John, and he takes up the subject of the family of God. And we have the Apostle Peter, and he takes up the kingdom of God, or the house of God in its government in 1 Peter, and the government of God in the world in 2 Peter. But learn to get an outline of those different books of the Bible. It will really help you to understand Scripture, and it will help you to be solid in your faith. Again, I say, as we've read, there are things that can be shaken. There are things that cannot be shaken. And my desire for you, dear young brother and sister in the Lord Jesus, as we face times that are changing rapidly, that you will have a foundation that stands firm in the midst of all the shaking that's going on. I don't want to point to the testimony so much, brethren, but I must say, the last trip I made to Bolivia, I was encouraged greatly at seeing younger brethren really laying hold of the doctrine, getting it, and teaching it. I'm not talking about older ones, but younger ones. And that's what I desire. I do see younger brethren with a desire. But I want to encourage you to take it up diligently. Don't be haphazard about it. Remember when I was still unmarried, and when you're not married, you have more time on your hands, let me tell you, than when you're getting married. So I want to encourage you to use that time. But I determined, and I say this by the grace of God, brethren, because I am not an example myself, but it was my personal decision before I left for work to get up 1 hour earlier so that I could spend 1 hour with the Lord every day. Half an hour in the Word, reading a chapter, reading some commentary on it, and then half an hour in prayer. I must say I gleaned something that is a treasure in my soul. Not only there, but in the public meetings. Remember the meetings here in Southern California when we had dear brother A.C. Brown and C.H. Brown and brother Paul Wilson. Oh, you know, I was younger, and you know, a younger person doesn't always pick up a whole lot. But I did pick up one thing here and another thing here. And I remember what that brother said, and it's a treasure. If you're not going to be here, if you don't have your ears open to what's said, you're going to miss it. But I want to say, that's a treasure, my soul, that I value tremendously today. And I want to encourage you. There are things in this world that are being shaken to oblivion. There are things that cannot be shaken. May the Lord grant that you and I would lay hold on that which cannot be shaken.